the Galatians 5:15 through 26. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. This is the word of the Lord.
We are searching for something beyond power, presence, meaning. But the voices are many, the paths uncertain, and the answers never seem to last. What if the presence you're searching for has already been sent? The Helper, the Spirit of Truth, the power of God with us, not distant, not hidden, but near, even in us. Jesus said, "If I go, I will send him to you." What if what we are searching for is a life through the Spirit?
Amen. How are we doing this morning? Man, it's good to be in the presence of God among the people of God. Amen. We're talking this morning, kind of wrapping up our series called Through the Spirit. We've been building up to Pentecost, if y'all were here last week, Pentecost Sunday, which was the outpouring of the Spirit to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. In many ways, it was kind of a reverse of the Tower of Babel, where the people of God, the people had gathered to build something in their own image for their own glory. God had scattered them. And then when Christ had come and died for the sins of the world, risen from the dead, the people of God had gathered to celebrate the feast at Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in the tongues of all those that were there. They heard the goodness of God and then began to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now, I don't know if y'all knew this or not, but I like to play sports. I'm competitive at times, most of the time. I didn't play any varsity sports in college, but I did play a lot of intramurals. Anybody else play intramurals? I enjoyed intramurals. I like competing. My brother and I played on a lot of the same teams. Now, back when we were in college, the spoil of victory was a free T-shirt. And you got this, and it said intramural champion. And you get to rock that T-shirt all over campus so everyone knew that you're a champion. And so that was the goal, to win the shirt. And we won a few shirts, didn't we, TD? We did. And I had so much fun as a college student winning shirts. I went back as a campus minister, won a few more. And so like to win the shirts, like to win. Well, there's always, I don't know about you, but we had a guy on our team who was there to compete, yes, but also there to ruin the other team. I don't know if y'all know guys like this or girls like this, where it wasn't just about winning, because we were probably going to win, but it was about, can you so discourage the other team that they fight each other? And he was the smallest guy on our team. He was athletic and above average athletically, but He was unassuming. You just didn't think he would be good. He didn't look like he was going to be very good, but he was good, and he let you know he was good. And he kind of used that against you. How could you let somebody like me beat you? You know, and he just, and then he wore glasses, so he would also like, are you going to hit me? You know, I've got glasses. You going to hit me? He was just provoking, and he couldn't win a fight, but we always had to kind of run to his aid to make sure he didn't get beat up. Now, why do I tell this story? Because, see, here's what's interesting about the Lord pouring out his Spirit at Pentecost and God filling the people of God is that there's no stopping this thing called the church to take the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth. It's going to happen. But what can happen is that we turn on each other, and as we read this morning, bite and devour one another. So that the enemy doesn't, so the gates of hell, the Bible says, will not prevail against the church. Which means the church will grow and expand. The people of God, and that's what we say around here, transform lives, transforming the world. I don't know about you, but we are all being transformed by the grace of God. And because of that, that was such a great illustration, Jed. Because we're being transformed, our spheres are going to notice that we're in process, but we're getting more like Jesus. Okay, that's the vision here. Now, Paul knows this, and we see the gospel expanding. In fact, the church at Galatia had received the gospel. They're being radically changed. It was a very diverse church, and it was moving and growing. And here's a problem is they begin to turn on each other. And so I'm going to talk this morning about the unity through the Spirit. Unity through the Spirit. So if you have your Bibles, if you want to look on the screen, we're going to read through this passage and teach on it this morning. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. And now look at the last verse we read. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So you see, Paul is sandwiching this passage here between two realities. You guys are biting each other. Now, not physically biting, right? No Mike Tyson here. I know some other biters out there, but we'll just stay with him. So, we're obviously not talking about biting. We're talking about cutting each other. We're talking about saying things. We're talking about digging at each other. He says, look, if you guys think that this is innocuous, that you're just going to like cut each other down a little bit, dig on it, this is going to cause you to turn in on each other. The work of God among you, which is powerful, can come to a screeching halt if we turn on each other. But I say, Paul says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, Paul's exhorting here that we have to walk, meaning two things here, that we're empowered by the Spirit. We've been talking about this for 5 weeks. That we have the Spirit of God inside of us. There's a divine third person of the Trinity. God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of the believers. Amen? To empower us to follow Jesus. And he shows us where to go. Be led by the Spirit. He says that later on in here, keep in step with the Spirit, which means the Spirit is moving. The Spirit is moving. It's the Spirit's heart. It's the Spirit's thrust. It's the Spirit's goal to keep the church united in Christ. That's what he's doing here. But walk by the Spirit. Can y'all say walk by the Spirit? Walk by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now look at that. It doesn't say walk by the Spirit and you won't have desires from the flesh. See, that shocked me as a new believer because I bought it. I don't think this is what was being said, but this is what I heard. You come to Jesus and sin will be done away with. And I was surprised that sin came out of my heart. I was surprised that sin came out of my mouth. Sometimes it comes out of your mouth before you realize it's in your heart. Out of the overflow of the mouth, Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so sometimes it'll just come out and you're like, ooh, I didn't know that was there. That's why the mouth can be an indicator of something that's not right in the heart. Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the, which means you'll have desires inside of you that God, your spirit part of you, doesn't like. I'll talk over here. You're going to have desires that come out of you that the Spirit of God dislikes, that part of you dislikes, and yet it's coming out of you. A desire means a passion. It means, it can be referred to as lust, something that's a pull, a love, a drag into something. And have your desires ever dragged you into something? Yeah. But if you walk by the Spirit, you won't be a slave to those things. Man, I desire a good dessert every once in a while. Right? Now, I bring that up because nothing wrong with a good dessert. I had some people trying to knock good desserts. Look, you could eat a dessert to the glory of God. Right? You could sit on your porch. The sun's coming up. The sun's going down. It's a moment, and you're just savoring that moment. I didn't know that till I got married, because I used to consume food. I didn't enjoy food. Food was something to be attacked and devoured. Food was to be conquered. In fact, I think it was the first fight I ever got with my wife. First fight. We were married, living in a little apartment. Let's go out to the Dairy Queen and get a blizzard. And so let's go. You know, we were young. We were scraping pennies together. You know, we were like, all right. So we get to the Dairy Queen, and I'm thinking, how can we save a dollar? Right? That's not what my wife was thinking. She was there to enjoy her dessert. And so two smalls is like a large. In fact, it's cheaper. You say like 50 cents. I didn't know that was the most expensive 50 cent I'd ever saved, praise the Lord. So I saved the 50 cent. I get this large blizzard, and I just driving home in that burgundy Hyundai Elantra with the faded paint, and we're driving it back, and I'm just like, just devouring it, you know, just like driving home, talking, like everything's fine. Man, this is some good blizzard, you know. Just driving, and I get home, and then she's crying. I'm like, I don't understand. What? So y'all young marriage, y'all know they're just tears. I don't know what happened. What did I do? She was enjoying. She said, I just wanted to enjoy my ice cream at home. It's all gone. She was enjoying. See, the desire took us all the way to the store and took us out and then caused a fight. Or I call it, I don't know, one of those. I'll let you decide. So the point is, though, is that when you walk by the Spirit, you won't gratify the desire. So that pull, not for ice cream, but maybe for sin, pulls us into something we don't want to be. But you can recognize the pull, and if you're walking by the Spirit, you'll say no. Now, how do we do that? Let's keep going. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And so there is a conflict going on inside of the believer. Do y'all see that? There's a desire of the flesh, and then there's a desire of the Spirit, and they are opposed to one another. Which means, literally, they are wrestling each other. They're attacking each other. So, think about this for the believer. The Christian life, then, isn't an attack or a suppression of the deeds of the flesh. It's actually to foster and grow and cultivate the desire of the Spirit. It's not to suppress desire. It's to feed and awaken the right desire. So many times we lose the fight of desire because we try to push like a beach ball under the water. We try to hold desire down. Eventually that desire is going to pop up. Instead of fighting the desires of the flesh, and there is some opposing going on there, I'm not saying there's not, let's feed the desire of the Spirit. It's the Spirit who opposes the flesh. And we can cultivate that desire so that, think about it this way, and this is a classic example. If you have two wolves fighting each other inside your soul, the one that you cultivate, the one that you feed, the one you care for, is going to devour the other wolf. Now, you might be, I've lost some of y'all. So this is, I'll say it this way. Listen to what he says here at the end of this passage. He says, for if you're in Christ, you have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. That's past tense, right? Now, I was always struggle with this because I would say, I would read the passions of the flesh are dead. But that's not what it says. It says they've been crucified. And so I would be discouraged when the passions of the flesh would rise up in me. I would say, Lord, if I'm in Christ, they're dead. He said, they're not dead. They're crucified. Well, isn't that the same? No, that's not the same thing. When you're crucified, you're alive, but you're dying. You see that? When someone's crucified, this is not a quick thing. This is not a shot in the head. This is not a noose around the neck. This is it was designed to take a long time. Because we want everyone to see you die. We're going to hold you up and let you die slowly and painfully. That's why when Jesus died so quickly, they were so surprised. Y'all remember that? He's already dead. We got to get this thing on the road. Let's break their legs. And when they came to see Jesus on the cross, he was already dead. But just to make sure, they stabbed him in the heart and blood and water came out. He was completely dead. They were surprised. It didn't take so long. Here's the thing about the flesh. It's been crucified and it will die. It's inevitable. Your flesh will die in Christ. But it's still alive. And you can go over and hold up the flesh's legs. Take another breath. Hey, do you need some medication up there not to feel so bad, flesh? You can feed the flesh. You can keep that thing alive as long as you want. It will die, but you can keep it alive a little longer. And you keep it alive longer by tending to the flesh. Paul says it this way, another way. He says, make no provision for the flesh. What's he saying? Stop feeding the flesh. You have a desire inside of you that you know is anti-God, anti-you, anti-others. And you want to feed that thing, you're making provision for it. What does that look like? It means putting things before your eyes that aren't holy and good and helpful to you to keep that desire alive. It's kind of like that boyfriend or that girlfriend you used to call. You know you should have called them. It was over. They broke up with you 8 times, right? They kept trying to break up with you. And you know, you're talking back into it. Then you call them. I just can't stop thinking about them. Well, how many times have you been on their Facebook page or, sorry, whatever, the page? Well, how many times have you snapped them? How many times have you been on social media? Well, oh, we don't want to talk about that. You've been feeding the flesh and want to know why it's not dying, right? And then we listen to things with our ears, the music we listen to, the movies we watch, the video clips that we're consumed. We're making provision of the flesh, and we wonder why the flesh isn't dying. We're cultivating it. Right? Now, Blake, I thought we were talking about unity of the Spirit. Talking about unity. Okay, here's why. When we're not unified in here, it's going to be real hard to be unified out here. James says it this way. There are fights among you because there's a fight inside of you. the reason you're cussing your neighbor out is because you've been cussing yourself out. You've been fighting in here, and that fight has been spilling out. Y'all see that? The spirit and the flesh are opposed to each other. Now, I know when we think about the flesh, we think about our carnal desires, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. But I want you to listen to the words Paul says here. Because I don't know if y'all realize this, but I would say less than half of the words he used are those types of sins. The majority of the words he uses are interpersonal. Listen to this. And he brings this up because there's been some false teachers that have come in and said, look, I need you guys to be circumcised, you non-Jews, if you really want to be close to God. And this is what's so insidious about religion. And what I mean by religion is the law making you be relate to God based on rules rather than based on grace. This is what's, because as soon as we start to fall, the desires of the flesh come up, we think, oh, something's wrong with me. And then here come up, yeah, something is wrong with you. You need to be circumcised. See, the real answer to your problem is, let's get back under the law. The real answer to make you feel better is that you would, I know you've been baptized 5 times, but have you been baptized in this church? So we're gonna try to create another hoop. Another law, well, it's because you're not Sabbathing on Friday. Well, I thought it was Saturday. Well, I thought it was Sunday. Look, Sabbath is important. I think that's, you should rest. It's a Ten Commandment. But the day, the hour, it's not fulfilled in the law. The Sabbath points to Christ. Okay? And so they're trying to kind of get credence and assurance by keeping the law instead of walking with Jesus by grace through faith. And so this is what he's saying. And so they were like, well, if we're walking by faith and by the Spirit, then won't sin be rampant? And Paul's like, guys, this is what he says. I gotta get some glasses. All right. For if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the work of the spirit of the flesh is evident. It's clear. You can't say I love Jesus, follow the Spirit, and he's going to lead you into these things. It's clear. That's not the Lord. That's what he's saying. The way of the flesh is evident. It's obvious. Well, what is it? Well, it's sexual immorality. It's any sexual activity outside the bond of covenant. That's what he's saying. Look, the Spirit is never going to lead you into sexual activity outside the bond of a covenant marriage forever. Between a man and a woman. That is God's design. That is the Spirit. That is Christ and his church. He would never lead you into this. So you can't say, well, the Spirit wants me to do this. It's obvious. That's what he said. It's evident. Impurity. Well, we didn't have sex. Impurity. Was it pure? How are you treating that person that's not your spouse? Is it pure? Because impurity is the work of the flesh. That's why we know. Like, oh, there it is. Right? We can see. That's a work of the flesh. Sensuality. Everything's about the senses. Everything, does it feel good? Everything, we focus so much on the senses. And in our culture, definitely sex. That's like the way we go. This is a sex, like saturated culture. And everything is about that. That's not the Spirit is what he's saying. Now, let me just say this. Sex is good. Praise the Lord. It's God's invention. He created it. It's beautiful to him. So I don't want you to hear me saying, oh, look, here's what. Let me help you. The enemy's job is to keep people who aren't married in sexual activity and the people who are married out of sexual activity. That's what he does. That's his great plan. All right? So, well, he doesn't like sex. No. Sex has its place in God. Praise the Lord. Just making sure I'm in the right place. I've read this book, and there's a lot of it in here. Sanctified unto the Lord, and beautiful. And there's a lot that's not. And so the covenant is what we're talking about. So now, why is Paul hitting on this unity? Because that type of sin will wreak havoc on the community of faith. It affects us. Stop biting and devouring each other. Stop provoking each other. How do we do it? Walk by the Spirit. We got to stay out of that kind of sin, because that sin ruins our hearts and lives and those around us. Now, there's just three. Let's keep going. Idolatry. That just means anything that you hold higher than God. Now, back then, it would be a literal statue, right? But we have our things that are more important to God than God. Now, how do I know I have that? Well, because when that thing is challenged and God, you choose that thing. When God becomes a convenience, but that thing is a necessity. That's a picture of idolatry, right? Sorcery. We want the power to wield for our own purposes. That's what sorcery is. I want the power, spiritual power, for my purposes. A sorcery. You can do that through witchcraft. You can do that. You can even do that in the church. Wielding the power for your own purposes. This is a work of the flesh. Now look at this. We've hit some big ones. Now look at what Paul goes on to say. Enmity. Causing conflict with each other. Strife. Just like to fight. Not like physical fight, but we gossip. We stir up dissension among our brothers. Did you hear what he said? Did you hear what he said about you? Well, she said this. Strife. God hates strife. Did y'all know that? There are 6 things the Lord hates. 7 are detestable to him. 2 of those are lying. Why is lying so powerful? Because it destroys trust and relationship. Jealousy. I thought we were talking about acts of the flesh. Jealousy's in the heart, isn't it? Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, creating competition where there shouldn't be any. Guilty. Right? I've done that. Because when you live in a competitive culture, everything's a competition. Even eating ice cream. I won, by the way. And I lost. Right? So rivalries, everything's about, are we better than, I mean, you can see that in the church, can't you? We're like looking over at the other church on the way to Sunday. Rivalries, why? That's the flesh. Dissensions. We just want to fight. We just want drama. I'm venting. Right? We've got ways to take what this is and try to whitewash it, but Paul's not. He's just not. Look at him. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. Is this pulling people apart or is it bringing them together? We literally live in a culture that's the goal. Y'all see that, right? Y'all remember, it's almost a decade now. They did this kind of dig into the foreign influence in American elections. Y'all remember, this isn't controversial, just calm down. The foreign interference with, and this is what they decided, this is what they found out, that our enemies weren't trying to push one side forward. They weren't. they were paying both sides to fight each other. They would find something that would ignite passion on the left, and they would feed it. And then they go and they do the same thing on the right. Because they didn't care who won. They just want you fighting each other. That's a work of the flesh. Divisions. Literally pushing people apart. Because that is not the Spirit. So here's a question for us this morning. And then he goes on to... sorry, guys. 45 is coming. Kick me in the rear end. All right. Drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. So he's not just saying this is an exhaustive list. But I just thought it was interesting. I'd never seen this before. There was more about interpersonal fighting than about the big ones. Isn't that interesting? Because the big ones, I can say, hey, brother, are you doing that? Yeah. Repent. You're right. Let's walk out of this, right? But when we fight, it was like, well, he did. Well, she said. Well, that's harder, isn't it? Because that thing is insidious. It gets in there and it tears us apart. But there's walking by the Spirit. There's a unity in the Spirit. How do we do it? By the Spirit. So listen to this. The same unction, the desires of the flesh, that moves us to things like sexual immorality, those dark things. I mean, we all have it. Maybe it's gambling. Maybe I don't know what it is that you drive. It could be food. It didn't have to be this bad thing, but there's something that drives you to something that's of the flesh. The same thing will drive you to fight each other, to make that post, to send that snap, to whatever you're made, to make that phone call. It's the same thing. And it's destroying us so that we bite and devour one another. Now, we're living in a fallen world, which means everybody in this room has some flesh. And everybody, if they're in Christ, has the Spirit. So everybody's redeemable, and if they don't have the Spirit, God can give him the Spirit in a moment. He can pull him back to Christ or pull him to Christ for the first time. So we are going to offend each other. We're going to offend each other. You know what that's called? Living in the world. But the question is, do we allow the Spirit or the flesh to win that fight when it happens? How do we know the difference? Because I'm going to tell you, I felt pretty justified, right? Have you ever felt justified? Where you did something? You're like, my God, I got a lot of good reasons for that. And then you give it some time. You spend time with the Lord. And then all of a sudden, the Lord's like, you know that wasn't me, right? What? I need you to go back and apologize. Sorry, Lord, we're breaking up. Song of Solomon. Where are we? Let me get back in here. What are we doing here? See, here's the thing. We got to walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. But the Spirit is more, sometimes, even initially, if it's muscles we haven't cultivated yet, it's more reflective. It's more reflexive. Like the flesh, boom, we can do it quick. The Spirit usually takes a moment to be like, I don't think that's the Lord. Right? So what do we need to do? We need to pause. When we feel the unction, a desire, we pause. We take a step back. Lord, is this you? Or is this me? And if you don't know, don't do anything. Right? But I got to do something. No, you don't. And typically when you got to do something, it's probably the wrong thing. Just take a break and pray. Lord, I think because typically if you're doing the right thing, there's going to be some resistance in your soul. Because the flesh and the Spirit are opposed to it so that you do not do what you want. So if we're going to walk in unity as a people, if we're not going to bite and devour one another, it means that we're going to have to walk by the Spirit. That means we're going to have a relationship with the Spirit. That means we're going to have to listen and increase sensitivity to the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit, Paul said. Don't quench the Spirit. Because there's going to be moments where we are legitimately hurt. And we're going to need to respond in the right way. That doesn't mean not respond. Right? If someone comes up to you and smacks you around, and he's a brother or sister in Christ, you can be like, that's not right. I don't want to hit him back. That would be responding in the flesh. But we're going to have a conversation. In fact, I might need to bring some folks with me. Right? But we need to confront in love, speak the truth in love. There's something about that, grace and truth. But we don't need to respond in the flesh. Because the flesh and the Spirit are against each other, and they will cause us to turn in on each other and squelch what God wants to do. Do y'all get that? There's a call of God on the church of Jesus Christ in the world and in this room. And the enemy does not want it to move forward. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's a legitimate enemy out there. And he's trying to take the desires of the flesh and blow on them. Not just for lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, but also for dissension, right? Trying to devour one another. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. God has come, Jesus, by the Son of God has come, been crucified, risen from the dead to save us, born again, so that the kingdom of God would expand. He didn't save you to live in sin. He saved you to come out of those things. And so if you're going to choose to live in that, you're not going to experience the life of God, and it's going to destroy you. Amen? Now, there's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, y'all, we actually did a whole series about this earlier in the year. But love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I always was surprised that kindness was in there. I don't know about y'all, but I'm like, oh, wait, that is in there. Like, I was like, well, we don't have to be kind. You know, I just love, I get all that, but kindness, I'm good.